We know that only when the needs of the entire family are met are you able to truly come to school and give your best each and every day. This is our work, this is our duty, and this is our promise to you as your school family with our friends at Communities and Schools.
Hello, and welcome to Letters from the Lunchroom, a podcast by Communities and Schools of Mid-America. I'm your host, Victoria Partridge. Communities and Schools is a nationwide nonprofit which connects students and their families to local resources in order to remove barriers so that they will have greater success in school and in life. During this podcast, we talk to people who have a relationship with our organization. From students to staff members and alumni to volunteers, we know that people who connect with nonprofits have a story that led them there, and we want to know that story. Today, we are talking with not one, but two guests. Jennifer Martin is a CIS site coordinator and Jessica Griffin is a principal. What do they both have in common besides being involved with our organization? They both work at Logan Avenue Elementary School in Emporia, Kansas. The CIS program started at this school in the fall of 2017. Jennifer is the first and only site coordinator at this location. I've asked both of them to join us today to talk about the program at their school, including how it has changed things, some of the challenges it has faced, and what they are looking forward to in the future. Please stay tuned as we head into the lunchroom with Jennifer Martin and Jessica Griffin of Logan Avenue Elementary School in Emporia, Kansas. So, hi guys, welcome to the lunchroom. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you.
Doing great. Yes.
I am super excited to talk to both of you. I have had the opportunity to work pretty closely with this program because I live and work out of Emporia, Kansas. And last year I was a direct supervisor for the program there at Logan Avenue Elementary School. So I'm really excited to get to know you both in sort of a different way because the whole purpose of this podcast is to find out what it is that connected people with our organization. So Jessica, I'm going to start with you first. When did you first hear about Communities and Schools? And also, what was your initial impression of the organization and what we do?
Well, it was kind of a surprise. I was called to the board office late in the school year. I want to say it was May, just about maybe April or May. And our executive director of elementary education approached myself and another principal about the opportunity to partner with Communities and Schools. And initially, I didn't quite know what to expect. But as we came to the table and information was shared in that meeting about the potential to help our children at a school level, at that tier one level, at tier two in a small group, and tier three with our families and our students who are the most intensive. I couldn't say yes fast enough because I knew that our families at Logan Avenue would benefit tremendously from this potential partnership and relationship because we know that so much of what happens at home impacts what happens at school, and we don't always have the resources to be able to help families in that way. And Communities and Schools was a great opportunity for us to be able to access and leverage those resources.
So I know that you mentioned that you couldn't say yes quick enough, but did you ever have any concerns or hesitations or doubts before you actually had the program come into your school?
Well, I think that you always kind of feel like it seems too good to be true. So it's kind of like, are we really going to get all of this support and these resources and have it be something that, isn't going to be real taxing, I guess, on our end, whether it's resources or space or other obligations, because you're always kind of a little leery about, like the details that maybe you don't hear about initially. So I think I was maybe a little skeptical in that manner. But once we were able to, start the hiring process and really start moving forward with the program, very quickly it became clear that, yes, we are getting all of this help and all of these resources and supports. And it wasn't taxing and there weren't hidden details. And so I felt really confident in moving forward.
Awesome. Awesome. And so Jessica was just talking about hiring. And so I want to take that as an opportunity to segue into you, because you are who we hired to be the site coordinator at Logan Avenue Elementary School. And I think that the partnership between the site coordinator and the principal cannot be emphasized enough. So let's talk about you. When did you first hear about community schools, and what made you decide to become a site coordinator?
Well, I heard about communities and schools way before I interviewed for this position. I actually heard about it from another staff member at the school district, and I had applied and interviewed for another position in Lawrence and didn't get that job, but, you know, kind of put my feelers out and kept watching. And then I think I had talked to you, Victoria, one day, and I was just like, if anything ever comes open close to home, let me know. And you kind of were like, well, that might be possible. And so I just kept watching. And when it came up, I applied for it immediately. So I was really excited. So I had known about communities and schools and had really loved the mission statement and everything that the organization does, and was so excited to apply for the position.
Fantastic. And so one of the things that I would really love to hear from you guys, because this program is still relatively new, but it's not so new that it doesn't have this amazing foundation already started. But because it is going into its third year, we have this opportunity to look back at what was it like the first year of the program? How was it different the second year? And then what are your hopes for the third year? So let's start with that first part. Jessica, what was the program like? What was it like with you from the principal perspective, having the CIS program in your school that very, very first year?
Again, I just want to say, I think it was a blessing right off the bat. Anytime you bring something new in, you know, it's change and it's a little bit different. But Jennifer was such a good fit within our school family. And we had been, as a school family, you know, going through trauma-informed care practice changes within our school the year prior to that. And our staff was in a spot where they were very welcoming, I feel like, of what Jennifer was bringing to the table and what communities and schools was bringing to the table, because they had a better understanding of the adversity and the challenges that many of our families face, and knowing that we needed to do school differently. And communities and schools provided that home link for us in a way that we know that it's hard if somebody's water is being shut off or electricity is being cut off or there's not enough food at home. But, you know, we are so busy. The reality of the situation is in the four walls of the school that, you know, we didn't have the time or the resource to be able to help those families in those situations, but we know that it impacted their child. And so I feel like communities and schools came to us at just the right time. Because the staff realized how important this resource could be for our children and their families. And so, you know, year one was really just a lot of getting to know each other, and big dreams and thinking about how can we, you know, what can we do? How much can we do? I felt like we took a lot on in year one. Jennifer is a go-getter, and she dreams big, and I love that about her. And so I think in year two, you know, we were able to really kind of sit back and go, oh, you know, like this maybe didn't work so well, but this worked really well. Let's maybe focus more on these certain activities within our school because we got bigger bang for our buck. And thinking about moving forward, I think that, you know, like our end of the year is just thinking about Jennifer and Rhonda, our counselor, myself sitting around the table, reflecting on things that went well is really about let's do those things that work well, really well. Let's focus in on there and then dreaming for the future. I think, you know, we're all excited about how do we continue to really grow that parent engagement in our school and have them understand what we're doing with trauma-informed care practices, ACE research, and some of those things that will help strengthen their own family in the home.
Fantastic. And so, Jennifer, I'd like to get your perspective on that first year as well.
So I totally agree with Jessica. That first year was really getting to know everyone, getting to know my families, getting to know the staff. I think there was, you know, when you initially have a program that starts, there's, and with it being so new in our community, kind of trying to figure out what exactly is the role of communities and schools. What do I do? What do I don't do? Some of those things. So there was kind of weeding that out a lot of, you know, with teachers coming to me and saying like, here's this. And I was like, well, I don't do that. And so really kind of trying to figure out the defined roles of what I'm responsible for and what I can do and what I can't do. So I think that first year was really getting things up off the ground. And then also, like Jessica said, I like to think and dream big. So we did do a lot of different things. For me personally, in this position, I think I did all the things. And so really learning how to get more people on board to come in and help me do these things or broker these services for our community here at Logan Avenue was one of the biggest things that I needed to do and learn. So that first year, I really was doing everything. And so it was great, but it was also exhausting. And then our second year was still dreaming big. I think even the second year, we had a lot of big goals, which I had a lot of big dreams, and some of them worked and some of them didn't. But we brought a lot of different people from the community into Logan Avenue to help do these services. So I thought that was fantastic. That was great. So
Jennifer, what are your hopes for this upcoming school year? Because it will be the third year that the CIS program has been there and your third year at Logan Avenue.
Yes. My hopes is that we are able to just really strengthen the things that that worked last year and provide a more expansive resource and education for our families. You know, we did try a lot of things. Some of them worked, some of them didn't work. And so we're going to take those things that really did work and make them better. And I'm hoping to really expand that and get parents connected to each other. So I feel like I did a great job connecting with my families and with other, you know, the families on my caseload, but also the families at the school and providing for them. But I think this year I want to provide more of a connection with the school and with other families together. So I'm hoping that's kind of what I'm going to focus on this year.
Ooh, I can't wait to see that.
Me too.
So looking back over the past 2 years, Jessica, what is one of your favorite CIS activities or supports that has been provided at your school?
Well, I think, you know, it's hard. I was just in preparation for this, like thinking about all the things. Like Jennifer does so many things. Communities and Schools has brought so many good things to our school. So it's hard to kind of tease out, like, what would I say? You know, but I really think that something that's had a lot of power for us has been the Conscious Discipline Parent activities that Jennifer has hosted here. So, you know, giving families the opportunities to come in on an ongoing basis and learn about how we're putting those trauma-informed care practices into place through the use of conscious discipline, and then what that might look like as carryover into the home to help strengthen what's happening in their homes. And so I think that piece has been a really big strength for our school when we talk about really reaching parents. But I also think that, you know, Jennifer is really well connected within the community and the number of volunteers that she's able to bring in, the small groups that she was able to operate this year with our students within the school day was also very powerful. You know, to know that consistently children were getting to meet with another caring, connected adult in the school building. And, you know, that time wasn't interrupted. And, you know, if Jennifer wasn't here, then there was another volunteer who was here to help with those things. And so it just was exciting to see the small group piece also take off this year and really be a strength within the school day for our kiddos.
And so, Jennifer, same question to you. What has been one of your favorite activities or supports that you've provided over the last 2 years?
I think it is the Conscious Discipline Program. Just being able to watch parents kind of go through this together at the beginning of our year, it's such a consistent program for them. You know, just kind of seeing them build the connections with each other and seeing them support each other. By the end of the year, it was awesome. And we had our translator from the school district come in and translate and in real time, which is great. So I don't have to say something and then stop and he translate. It's all translated in real time. And so just watching that connection between the parents and watching them support each other at the end as they've gotten to know each other was amazing. And so I think that Conscious Discipline Program is such an awesome thing that was one of my favorite things to watch.
So you guys both just talked about conscious discipline. And the next question I'm going to ask you is in regards to either your favorite CIS memory. So that's different than a support or an activity. So either your favorite CIS memory or success story. But to get that started, I want to share one of mine because it has to do with conscious discipline. And this goes back to the very, very beginning whenever we were interviewing you, Jennifer, for this position, because I got to sit in on those interviews and I remember the magic that happened whenever you and Jessica met and started talking about conscious discipline. And it was like the energy in the room changed and we knew we had found such a dynamic fit for this role. And like I said, it was just magic. You know, we had the right person with the right passion combined with the right principal at the right school and all of your guys's ideas and focuses. And it gives me chills just thinking about it now. So that is one of my favorite CIS memories involved with this school.
Yeah. I think that was the moment I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in the exact right position that I need to be in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Jennifer, do you have a favorite CIS memory or success story that you wouldn't mind sharing with us?
Oh gosh. I think my favorite memory, is probably one of our last sessions of conscious discipline. And we just had the parents, we were sitting around and every conscious discipline session, we talk about well wishes and we talk about, good things that have happened. So things that you can share with other people. And we just had, I think just about every parent that night had shared something that they were struggling with, how they've used conscious discipline to help, how they have found some successes, things that they've tried, but also just kind of sharing their things that they were struggling with, because every one of them had been struggling with something having to do with their children and how parenting was going. And just watching everyone like chime in and just say, you did it though. You did a good job. Keep going. Like, you know, just kind of congratulating everyone. And so we even had a woman who spoke only Spanish. And so, Felix was translating and in real time, this conversation was happening and it was just, she was feeling the support of other people, even though she didn't understand what they were saying because Felix was translating in that moment. And so it was just one of the best memories that I have of being able to provide that space for those parents to come and not only learn skills to help them in parenting, but to build connection with other people that are parenting and also with us as facilitators without a judgment or without a saying like, this is how you need to parent. Like this is what you need to learn. But everybody just kind of sharing the things that they have been practicing with the skills that they've been learning and even sharing things that weren't going well. Like I practiced that and it didn't work, you know, and everyone was like, that's okay. Keep going. Like you practiced and, you know, just congratulating on little successes. And so I think that that was probably one of my biggest memories because it was like, oh, this is so awesome.
I love that. And
yeah.
So Jessica, same question for you.
Yes.
What is one of your favorite CIS memories or success stories that you've seen?
Well, I think that I'm going to echo a little bit of the conscious discipline piece there. And I'm kind of twofold here. So I have one that's, I think, more school-based and then one that is a community-based. I do feel like, you know, again, Jennifer's connection to community and, you know, I was thinking just most recently here, partnering with SOS and talking with them about the use of conscious discipline within their system, then created an opportunity where SOS brought in a certified conscious discipline trainer to the Emporia community. And when I walked into the room, I was not able to attend day one of training, but when I went in on day two at the tech college and the conference room was filled with people from the Emporia community, my heart just felt so light and happy and hopeful for our community because there was all of these people who had gathered together to learn a different way, a new way of being that person that creates safe places and love and connection amongst everyone within our community, everyone you come into contact with. It's not just who you are at school or what you do at home, but really who you are in the world as a person. And so I think, you know, had Jennifer and Communities and Schools not been a part of what was happening here at Logan, I don't know that we would have had the opportunity to bring that learning piece to our community. And so I think that that was a really powerful moment here recently, that's outside of our school walls, but in our school walls. You know, I think just watching Jennifer create the relationships with our families, the trust level that's there. You know, I can think about multiple families who have come to our building in times of crisis and shared with Jennifer, you know, whether they come into the school or they call or they send her a text message, hey, this just happened, or, you know, we're really in a bad place and we need help with this, or, and there's no judgment. You know, I think that they definitely feel connected and safe with her and know that, you know, when we say we're here to help as a school family, we really mean that we're here to help. And it's not our place to judge. It's our place to help find whatever resource might be getting in the way or what support they might need at that point in time. And so I cannot just think of one of those stories. You know, I think about many families right now as I'm sitting here that they come to her in safe place and they know that she will help them.
I think one of the things that I am finding really interesting about this conversation and where it has gone so far is the ability that it has, what it has shown about how CIS helps not just the student, but also the families, because we are very student focused, of course, but sometimes helping the student means helping their families. It's that true whole child approach.
Yes.
And I am so glad that you guys have talked about the ways in which we can provide support for those families, because ultimately that does help out the students as well. We have said the words conscious discipline so many times in the past, like 15 minutes. So
yes.
For those people who are listening who are not aware of what conscious discipline is there a good place that they could go find more information? Or Jennifer, would you mind giving like a quick, or Jessica, either one of you guys, give a quick like 2 minutes rundown of what exactly conscious discipline is?
I will let Jessica do that.
I don't know. 2 minutes is, that's hard. So I would say anybody looking to find more information, if you go to the web and you just type in conscious discipline, Becky Bailey is the founder of this approach, and her website has a wealth of information, free resources, video clips that you can watch related to, you know, and essentially it is an entire shift. I feel like personally, having been a traditional educator and then now a trauma-informed educator, in who you are as a person. And it's about, you know, working to create safety and connection within your school building so that you can get to a place of problem solving. So we spend a great deal of time. You work on self first. So as the adult, if we can't regulate, if we can't create safety, then we can't help our children. We can't help them in the chaos, bring the calm. We have to learn to do that ourselves. And then once we can do that, then we can offer that to our children. And then once we have safety, we focus on connection. So we spend a lot of our day just, you know, listening, building an opportunity to hear. There are, you know, if teachers are struggling, there are opportunities for them to call for assistance where, like, I can come in and take the math group and teacher can continue to have relationship with the child. So we focus on safety, we focus on connection, and then you can get to a place of problem solving with kids. We teach them about their brain state so that they know, you know, if they're in their survival state, they're in their amygdala, that's that fight or flight reflex, a lot of emotional state in the limbic system. That's where that relationship and connection piece is happening. And then when we get to our prefrontal cortex and we're talking about is executive functioning, that's where we want to be so that we can learn and we can be helpful in our school family. But if we don't help kids secure those first two areas of safety and connection, we're never truly going to get to the place of being able to help them with executive function. So that is our goal. And then through doing all of those pieces, we create a true school family. We're modeling a healthy family relationship with everybody in the school, adult to adult, adult to child, child to child. And so there is, this program is, you know, 20 years in the making. There's a lot of research out that supports it. She does have parent training resources, which is what, you know, Jennifer is using. It's not a program, you know, like people would sometimes think about some of the other character education kinds of things. This is truly a shift in how you do business all day, every day, and who you are as a
person.
Excellent
job. So everybody go check out Conscious Discipline by, what did you say, Bailey? Becky Bailey.
Excellent. Dr. Becky Bailey.
So we are going to wrap up the first part of this episode, and then we will be back with a second serving of Letters from the Lunchroom. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. As part of our show, we ask each guest to write a letter to the students that Communities and Schools serves. The only guideline they are given is that it must come from the heart. Since we have two guests today, we are going to start with Jessica Griffin, elementary school principal, and have her read her letter to CIS students everywhere.
All right. To our Logan Avenue school family members, I am blessed to be a part of your journey and foundation of your educational experience. Each of you has gifts and talents to share with the world. You are problem solvers and you are survivors. I am fortunate to have the opportunity to work with Mrs. Martin and Communities and Schools to make certain that no obstacles stand in your way of accessing learning. We are a family, and it is our job to ensure that all of your needs are met. We want to make sure that your basic needs are met. So if you're hungry, we will feed you. If you're sleepy, we will find a place for you to rest. We want to make certain that your emotional needs are filled. If you need time to connect or time to unload, time to be held, we are here for you. We are here for your entire family. If your parent needs an ear to listen, help with transportation, or food for the family, we are here. We know that only when the needs of the entire family are met are you able to truly come to school and give your best each and every day. This is our work, this is our duty, and this is our promise to you as your school family with our friends at Communities and Schools. You have brilliance inside of you that will help change our world for the better. The future of our world is within our school today, and Communities and Schools is helping us unleash the brilliance inside of each and every child. I wish you well, Mrs. Griffin.
Thank you, Jessica. That was amazing. Okay, so Jennifer, now it is your turn, if you don't mind. Jennifer Martin, again, she is a CIS site coordinator over there at Logan Avenue Elementary School. If you would please share your letter that you wrote to the students.
Okay, Jessica, that letter was awesome. My dear student, I see you. I see you when you are hurting and scared. I see your successes big and small. I see you and I am here for you. I want you to know that you are loved, you are successful, and you are always welcome in my office. Also know that my office and my arms are always welcome to you anytime for you and your family. Now go and learn and grow, and I will be right here. Love, Mrs. Martin.
Oh, you guys. Oh, like my heart just feels so warm. Ah. Oh. Okay, so I know how I feel whenever I heard those letters. Jessica, let's start with you. How did you feel when you read your letter?
Tried not to be so emotional. I was like, take a big deep breath, Jessica. Right, you can't cry on the podcast. So it's really emotional. I mean, when you think about the faces and you think about the families, it just is really emotional.
Well, it's what we do, why we're doing what we're doing, you know?
Yes.
And I really love that the people that work with us, whether they are staff members, community partners, schools, are people that care so much about the children, that care about them and their families as much as we do. So, you know, it's okay to get emotional. It's good.
Yeah.
Jennifer, how did you feel reading your letter?
Same, very emotional, but I'm always emotional when I talk about the work that we get to do because it's such important and it's so personal. Like I see my kids, I see their families, like I love my families, like I love them, like, and they know that, and it feels so good to be able to sincerely build connections. Like, I can say these things knowing that I do see them, and I see them when they're hurting, and I do see them when they have successes. And, you know, when they come into my office because something's happened, and it's like, just sit, like, I will just sit here with you. Let's just sit, like, giving them a space to just feel welcome and loved, even though, you know, they may have done something wrong, or they may have had an outburst, or they may be struggling that day. And so just being able to provide space for them is awesome. I mean, it's the best job I've ever had. I say this all the time, but I really do mean it. Like, this really, I've been in social services since I graduated college, and this is by far the best and most meaningful job that I've ever had, because I get to do so much. Like, it's unlimited, the things that I get to do, which is great.
I completely feel you on that. I've worked in the nonprofit world for quite a while. And the first thing that I really loved about communities and schools was the variety of supports that we can provide and how many people we can provide. Like, it's not limited. Yes. But the thing that really, really tipped the scales to make me just truly fall in love with the organization was, like, what you were talking about, the relationships, the sincerity of the relationships, both within the organization and with the people that we work with, you know, the principals that I get to talk to and the people that I get to talk to on the podcast, the community members that we meet with, the families, the kids, just everybody. It's really amazing. And I've never seen anything like it with any other organization that I've ever worked with. So another question that I like to ask people regarding their letters is, did you find it, either one of you guys, difficult to determine what you were going to write?
This is Jessica. And I don't think it was difficult to decide what to write. It was difficult to pare down, like, because there are so many things. And so I think that was my struggle, was like, what do I focus on for a short letter? When you said a short letter to the families, I was like, oh. And so that's, you know, where I just really felt like, again, I mean, Jennifer and Communities and Schools really helps create that safe space. And, you know, whether it's a basic need that needs to be met, if it's help with, you know, transportation to and from a therapy appointment, if it's shoes, if it's, you know, those basic needs is one thing, but then the connection and the love and the relationships that she's creating and helping us strengthen from a school standpoint with our families is really, I guess, what helped me just decide, like, I'm going to focus on those two areas, because those are the things that I see our families needing from us most right now.
And how about you, Jennifer? Did you find this letter difficult?
I found it difficult, yes, to, you know, again, to keep it short. And, you know, mainly I kind of focused on giving this message to my kiddos that I see every day. But the families too, I mean, I see them. Mm-hmm. And I see them when they have big successes, little successes and big ones. And, you know, so yeah, it was a little difficult.
Well, you both did an excellent job on your letters. I loved how individually unique they both were. They were very clearly showcasing the passion that you each have and where your hearts and minds are with the school that you guys both work with, and also with the CIS program. So I appreciate everything that you did to prepare for this episode. And thank you for just keeping yourselves open and honest with us.
Yes.
So we're going to take another quick break, and then we will be back with some extra credit. So we like to wrap up each episode with the opportunity to earn some extra credit. Are you guys both ready to answer a few more questions before we let you go?
Yes.
Sounds good.
Okay. So Jessica, you're up first. If you had one superpower, what would it be and why?
One superpower. That's a fun one. I think I would like to have the superpower to help others see the best in others. So positive intent, the power of positive intent, and being able to help people see that in each other, especially during times of conflict or challenge.
Oh my gosh, if that isn't the name for like a breakout session at like a mindfulness seminar, I don't know what is. That is amazing.
There was a lot of thoughts going in there. I could have picked a lot of superpowers, but I think that if the world had more positive intent, we would be a lot better off.
I agree. I love that. So Jennifer, if you had one superpower, what would it be and why?
I think it would be to be like super strong, just to kind of, I don't know, move things, like, you know, just, it kind of reminds me of like moving obstacles out of people's way, or, you know, lifting things that need to be lifted somewhere. It was not, yeah.
So you're not necessarily talking about physically strong.
Yes, I am physically strong.
Oh, you are. Well, did you just relocate your office? Is that what happened? And this is like... post vibes is you're just like,
yes,
really
not yet. I haven't. I'm gonna have to.
Okay, so the next question is, Jessica, if you could eat only one of your favorite snacks for the rest of your life, which one would you choose?
Only one. Gosh, why do you do this? No. Only one superpower, only one favorite snack. I'm probably gonna say cheese. Like, oh, I love cheese of any kind. I don't think I've met a cheese I haven't liked. So I would say definitely I would just, I think I could survive on cheese. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You even like blue cheese?
Oh, I love blue cheese. Oh, yeah, like so many varieties of blue cheese. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, so I don't think I've met a cheese that I didn't like, which, yeah.
That's impressive.
It's the important part about, you know, staying active and working out also.
Protein. Yeah. And so, Jennifer, how about you? If you could eat only one of your favorite snacks for the rest of your life, which one would you choose?
Oh, gosh. I think it would be cinnamon popcorn.
That is very specific, and I love it. So what is it about cinnamon popcorn?
It's delicious.
Well, obviously.
I was like, well, let me get specific. If it's only one snack, it's got to be specific. Cinnamon popcorn, probably.
Where can you, is that something that you make or can you buy it made?
You can buy it at, like, sometimes the, when they do block parties, or you can get them at certain gas stations or at like the popcorn place and they usually have in the malls has cinnamon popcorn.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, it would be kind of like the same people that make kettle corn, right?
Yeah.
Yes. That makes sense. Okay. So the final extra credit question, and Jessica, we're going to go ahead and just keep starting with you. What is the number one reason that you feel people should get involved with communities and schools?
I would say hands down, because of the support that's there. We are live in a day and an age where our children need more support than ever. And, you know, I think about the last 2 years, even in our own district, you know, how many district leadership team meetings I sat in, and we're talking about the attendance rate, or we're talking about behavior of students. And, you know, you have those of the mindset of, well, we need a bigger hammer, we need a truancy officer. And I'm like, no, you need communities in schools. Like, it's not the right approach. Like, the hammer isn't going to work. Like, you need to build connection and you need to build safety for our families and for the kids. And so, you know, I think that that message is finally being heard, and I'm excited to see more schools in Emporia coming on board with communities in schools and welcoming that opportunity into their buildings, because the support that communities and schools has been able to provide for our students directly and their families is unlike anything I have seen in 19 years in education. And so I just want to say to any administrator that's listening, you will not go wrong if you jump in and you build this partnership with communities and schools, because it will mean the world for the children you serve.
Oh, thank you for that, Jessica.
Good answer.
Okay, Jennifer, it's your turn. What is the number one reason that you feel people should get involved with communities and schools?
I feel like people should get involved because it gives them an opportunity and a space to be that one caring, responsible adult in a child's life. Because studies tell us, research tells us, that one caring, responsible adult in the child's life can change the entire outcome of their life. And that to me is so big and so small, because it just takes one person. Mm-hmm. And communities and schools have so much opportunity for people to come in and just do a variety of different things. So you can't lose coming in and being involved with communities and schools.
I agree. And so for everybody listening, think back. Is there somebody in your life, is there one adult who made a difference, who showed you that they cared? And if so, consider joining us and volunteering. You can check out more information at our website at CIS MidAmerica under the ways to get involved. And with that, I think we're going to wrap up this episode. So like I said, for more information on Communities and Schools of MidAmerica, our website address is cismidamerica.org. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Follow us on social media at CIS MidAmerica. I want to thank Jennifer and Jessica for joining me today. It was great talking to you both.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode of Letters from the Lunchroom. I am your host, Victoria Partridge. And until next time, class is dismissed.